Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. There is no more worthy a pursuit than to know God. This is the chief end of the man and of the woman, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. All of our lives here will end someday and in some way. We do not control the end, and all of us will face the living and one true God. Oh, won't we want to have known Him? Won't we want to have accepted His free offer for the forgiveness of our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ? Won't we want to have invested the days and nights of our lives thinking about Him and exploring the depths of His revelation here in the Bible? And for those of us who follow Christ, a significant element of our time spent with Him is in worship. We worship God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Worship is not reserved for Sundays in the churches. Rather, the worship service is merely the climax of a week celebrating who God is in our prayers. The songs that we sing, the testimony we give at work and at school and on public transportation and in our homes. The worship we give Almighty God culminates. It comes together in our public worship service, but we've been building towards that day, day in and day out. You might reply, well, that sounds good, but that's not reality. That's not how it works in real life. You might think, I am so busy Monday through Saturday that by the time I get to church on Sunday, it takes me so long to kind of get into worshiping the Lord that by the time I am ready to really settle in, the music stops, the prayers end, and that preacher starts talking. Yes, realistically, that is where many Christians are. But can I challenge you, even as I challenge myself? Let us make worship a priority in our everyday lives. And one of the core elements to worship is being thankful and expressing our thanksgiving to God. God is to be thanked. There is praise, there is adoration, there is pouring out our love for Christ, there is exalting the name of God. And there is always that element of thanksgiving. Well, when we tell God thanks, we join with the heavenly beings that are also continually gathered around His throne to give Him thanks. And we have seen this already last week when we have picked up our Bible reading in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I will not take the time to reread those texts now, but please look them up for yourself. In Revelation 4, verse 9, Revelation 7, verse 12, and Revelation 11, verse 17, a mighty melody of praise filled with thanksgiving is raised to God who sits on His throne. That is in heaven, and we mirror that praise when we engage our minds, hearts, and souls in thanksgiving from here, earth, heavenward. God delights in the praises of His people wherever His people are. So let our worship include thanksgiving. Let us be a thankful people. And now let's revisit the throne of God in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4, verse 3. This is where we left off on Friday. You'll know if you were with us last week that we are working our way down through an outline as a guide to Revelation chapter 4, and our focus, God is to be thanked. It is a 5-point outline, and we have already discussed points 1 and 2. First, we located Revelation chapter 4 in the entire book of the Revelation and made sense of how what John tells us in the other chapters makes sense in light of what we have read here. Second, we identified who is the one sitting on the throne in Revelation 4. He is God. Today I want to give one more insight into Revelation 4, verse 3, then move on in the outline. To do that, let me read this verse to you. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4, verse 3. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. I cannot quickly pass over this. Wow! As best the Apostle John can describe in his limited human vocabulary, here is what God looks like, and here is what the rainbow around the throne looks like. Let's talk about this. Here's the key insight I hope you will grasp. In this one verse, we find three aspects to God's covenant-keeping promise with his people. When we learn the Bible, we come to that place where we understand that God is a covenant-making God. It will be helpful if I can define a covenant. Let me do so like this. A covenant is a formal agreement or treaty between two parties with obligations and regulations. A covenant is a formal agreement or treaty between two parties with obligations and regulations. In the Bible, we find six covenants between God and people. We have, for example, the covenant between God and Noah. I will say more about this soon. The covenant between God and Abraham, and between God and Moses, known as the Mosaic Covenant. There is the priestly covenant of Numbers chapter 25, the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7, the covenant between God and David. And then, of course, the most important covenant of all, the new covenant made between God the Father and Jesus the Son and us. All Christians today live under this new covenant. There is the old covenant made between God and his people, the Jews, in the Old Testament, and the new covenant made between God and his people, believing in Jesus, Jews, and believing in Jesus, Gentiles, in the New Testament. I am fully aware that much can and perhaps here should be said about this, but I have my eye on the clock, and my purpose here is not to teach the covenants. I only want to set us up to see in Revelation 4, verse 3, how God keeps his covenant promises as revealed in what we see around his throne. So let's return to Revelation 4, verse 3 now. Now we find that he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. The jasper stone is crystal clear, most like a diamond, and the sardius stone is a blood red ruby. The jasper, like a diamond, is refracting the glory of God. The sardius declares the awesome judgment of God. And here is what else is true of these stones. They reflect the covenant God made with his people in Israel. In the breastplate of the high priest, and we read about this in Exodus chapter 28, the sardius was the first stone representing Reuben, the firstborn son of Jacob. Jasper represents Benjamin, the lastborn son of Jacob. Those stones together represent God's covenant relationship with Israel, a covenant God keeps. Seeing him who was seated on the throne, who is God, was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, speaks to God as the covenant-keeping God. The Lord made a covenant with the Jews, and he will keep it. Israel has a big part to play in God's present and future plan. The Bible says so. We can be sure of it. And then verse 3 continues, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. What does this rainbow remind you of? Yes, the covenant God made with Noah in Genesis chapter 6, 8, and 9. Listen specifically to what God says to Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 through 17. This is Almighty God speaking. Genesis 9, verses 13 through 17. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." There it is, the covenant promise of the rainbow. And in Revelation chapter 4, God is still keeping his covenant promise. The Apostle John says, "And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance." The covenant given in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, still holds true in the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. God is a covenant-keeping God, and we know this because often after the rain, we too see the rainbow. And this rainbow in heaven was emerald in appearance, meaning green. God keeps his promises given by way of the covenants. And at his throne, John writes for us about the sardius that declares the awesome judgment of God. God promises his wrath and fury upon sinners who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord. And John writes about the rainbow that declares God's faithfulness. God promises his grace and mercy upon sinners who embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord. This is who God is. He is both wrath and love, perfectly at the same time. And as I said at the beginning, we want to know Christ. We want to accept his free offer of forgiveness of all our sins. We want to serve him and him alone. If we have done this, we receive love, grace, and mercy. If we reject Christ, then we receive wrath, judgment, and fury. Do you embrace Christ? Do you believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins? I pray you do. And I hope that you will join me again tomorrow as we continue to discover God in Revelation 4.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.